Now over images of New Orleans, a title appears. The Madam's Family, The Truth About Canal Street Brothel. Starring Ellen Burstyn as Tommy, Dominique Swain as Monica. This program has been described by the Media Access Group at WGBH with funding from CBS. Described by Christopher Flowers, Paula Broussard, Dutch Priest, and Stacey Perlman. Read by Gailey Heidemann. Now in a grocery store, an older woman with dyed black hair smiles at a toddler in a shopping cart, then faces her mother.
Hey, do me a favor, honey. Hand me a couple of those cayenne peppers. Thank you.
Looks like somebody's making jambalaya.
And I almost forgot my secret ingredient.
She grabs a bottle of liquor off the shelf.
You put bourbon in the sauce?
Well, just a drop or two. The rest I put in the cook. Gives us both a little bite.
The older woman winks at the mother, then pulls a cell phone from her pocket.
Tommy here. Hey, Roger. You old son of a gun. Where the hell you been keeping yourself?
Now wrought iron rails and white columns surround a two-story home's porch and balcony. Inside, a sultry brunette offers a man in his 60s a drink.
Here you go. Two fingers, three cubes, no water. Now that should take a little bit of the edge off.
Thank you, ma'am.
She joins him on a couch.
I'm really sorry I didn't call first, Jeanette.
Howard Lipton, since when do you need an invitation?
Howard stares across the sitting room.
Howard?
What? Yeah, sure.
Mama, but we are jumpy today. I hope you're not prescribing yourself any of that nose candy again, because you know I don't approve. Now, let's see if we can find some way to put a smile on your face.
I like that. Almost forgot. I got you a little something.
He hands Jeanette a small wrapped gift.
You certainly know how to put one on mine.
I sure hope so, too.
Now in an apartment, a young woman in a black bra teases her short blonde hair. A baby watches from a playpen. The woman kisses the baby girl.
Oh, are you Mama's precious little girl? Yes, you are.
Mm-hmm. On the sidewalk.
Tommy here. Oh, Mr. Danny, of course I remember you. Wasn't your daughter getting married the last time you were in town? Oh, I'm so glad. What time?
Tommy approaches the two-story home. As she enters, a man rushes out.
I look forward to see you at night.
Miss Tommy.
Nice to see you too, Leroy.
You know Leroy's always in a hurry. 5 minutes from start to finish, and that includes a shower.
God love him, I do believe he set a new record this time. But you can use the time to rest up. Mr. Danny called. He wants to see you at 9.
Oh, big little. No, you're big and I'm little.
No, you're big and I'm little.
Swell, I'll go braid my hair.
As the scantily clad girl heads back upstairs, Tommy enters a parlor where a man sits with two girls.
Hey, Bobby.
Hey, Tommy.
Good luck with that IPO next week. You can leave a few of those shares under my pillow.
How'd you know about that? My broker doesn't even know.
Yeah, well, I bet I know a lot of things about you your broker doesn't know.
Well, if he looked half as good as you do walking out of a room.
Why, Bobby, are you flirting with me? Shame on you. I'm old enough to be your wife.
In the sitting room, Jeanette tries on a black pendant.
Cheyenne. Supposed to ward off evil spirits.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's see if it works.
She faces Howard.
No. I'm still here. Sounds like you've got company.
That's beautiful. Thank you.
She kisses him and slinks out. Howard smiles after her. Now on a busy street, the young blonde mother gets out of a sedan wearing thigh-high boots. She leans back in the car window, smiling, then starts down the sidewalk, tucking something down the front of her tight dress. As an unmarked police car pulls up, she quickly turns the other way.
Hey! Put your hands behind your back and turn around!
She faces the officer defiantly. Now in the brothel's kitchen, Jeanette and Howard laugh over drinks as Tommy cooks.
Tommy, you are too much.
I'm not too much. I'm just right. Jeanette, fill the good doctor's glass. He's looking a little low.
A slim young woman with curly pigtails bounces in wearing a sheer lavender baby doll nightie.
I hope you're hungry.
It smells great, but I'm fine. Thanks.
She takes a bottled water from the fridge. Howard's eyes widen as she squeezes her shapely body out behind him.
I swear, none of these Miami girls eat a damn thing, but the men can't get enough of them.
She's the most popular girl we've ever had. It's a shame she's going home tomorrow.
I thought she just got here.
Only booked her for 2 weeks. Better hurry. I traded a house in Miami for a couple of girls who wanted to spend some time on the beach.
I was kind of hoping she could come to the party.
Party?
Howard's having another boat party.
Oh, we do love a party around here. Maybe this would be a good time to settle our...
Settle on what girls you'd like to bring on the boat. But don't worry. I had a pretty good handle on what you like. Go.
You're the best.
I know.
As Howard leaves, Tommy frowns.
Mama, I can't believe you'd try to bring up money like that. He's going to spend over $15,000 on that party.
Yeah, and he's still into us for nearly $23,000 from his last couple of shindigs.
He's good for it. I don't want to hear another word about it.
Fine. What do I know? I'm just the bookkeeper. Why should my opinion count for anything around here? And don't think I didn't see that $5,000 that you loaned the neighbors for their new roof. Guarantee you we ain't ever going to see that money again.
Honestly, Mama, you know what? You have got to stop worrying. We're doing fine.
With a cigarette in hand, Tommy sips a martini. She eyes the counter.
Where was I?
Jeanette finds a policeman on the porch.
Stay. What a nice surprise that in your uniform...
The blonde stands behind him.
Monica?
Hey, Mom. Look what followed me home. Can I keep him?
Paid her up out on the airline. She's going to get hurt out there, Jeanette.
This time, just take me downtown. It'll be a whole lot less painful.
Monica marches in past her mother.
Thanks. I owe you one.
She winks at the officer, later in the kitchen.
So, this is the new life you were talking about. Night school, huh? Is that what they're calling it now?
It's not a regular thing. I just had a little trouble making the rent this month.
Well, that reminds me of last month. What did I tell you about girls working airline highway?
They meet rich, handsome men who want to marry them.
Oh, you think this is funny? With that attitude, you can just...
Jeanette! Come on.
Tommy motions her back to the table.
You know you could have asked me.
Please, I didn't want to ask.
Why don't you just move home? We can take care of you. We can help take care of Nevaeh. Your grandmother and I worry about you so.
I've just been having a little more trouble getting settled than I thought. It's not like I have the most marketable set of skills.
Oh, so now this is my fault. Now I'm to blame. I'm just saying, if this is what you're gonna do, you're 10 times better here than working out on airline. These are the South's top lawyers, judges, and doctors out here.
Nobody gets past me unless they're respectable.
I got to go. I told the sitter I'd only be gone a couple hours.
Oh, Monica.
Tommy slips her some cash.
Monica, come here. Yeah, fair.
Thanks, Grandma.
As Monica leaves, Tommy puts her hands on her hips and eyes her daughter.
What?
Nothing. Well, I guess I better call your sister. This may not be the best time for her to come over.
Oh my God, Mama. Lee wouldn't come here for a glass of water if her head were on fire.
Well, I talked to her earlier today, and I told her I was making a special pot. And I know how much she likes it, so never know.
Besides all the obvious reasons, she's allergic to pecans.
Staring at the cutting board, Tommy stops chopping pecans.
Well, I know that. She's my own daughter. Of course I know that. Has she always been allergic?
Now Monica holds her squirming daughter in a rocking chair.
And she and I were rocking in this big old rocking chair.
Holding Nevaeh with one arm, she crosses the apartment to a cell phone.
Hello?
May I please speak to Miss Montemayor?
Now at a mirror, Jeanette adjusts her cleavage. The black pendant rests next to a red feather tattoo on her breast. She strolls into the parlor where businessmen flirt with women in lingerie. Jeanette whispers to a suited man dancing with a tall girl. She spots a burly young man getting rough with a girl.
Hey, Romeo! Settle down.
I'm just trying to have a good time.
That's what we're all about. And being that you're such a big, strong, sexy guy, it'd be a shame if your night didn't end with a walk up those stairs.
She backs him onto a couch and sits on his lap.
Disrespect one of my girls again, and the only walk you're going to be taking is back up Canal Street. Alone. We understand each other?
Yes, ma'am.
Good boy.
What if I want to go upstairs, ma'am?
A goateed man smiles.
Hey.
Jeanette rushes to his arms.
So glad you're here. Mm. I thought you were going to forget about me.
Never.
They kiss. In the kitchen, a sign reads, no drugs, no pimps, no stealing.
Mama, look who decided to finally show up.
Well, aren't you a pleasant sight? Did you bring me anything?
Mom.
BB presents champagne.
Yeah. Ooh, aren't you the sweetest thing? Anybody else want a glass?
Why don't we sneak out and get some dinner?
Hey, I've been cooking all day.
Well, I've been cooped up all day. Please?
Nothing would make me happier. But I'm expected home in less than an hour. But if you can wait till Monday.
I love Mondays.
Tommy shifts her concerned gaze.
It's a date.
Monica enters carrying her daughter.
Monica, honey, what's wrong?
Somebody reported me. They called child services. They told them I'm an unfit mother.
Oh, honey, no.
So I'm going to go see a caseworker. Oh, they can't take my baby away from me, can they?
No, they can't. We'll see to that. Who would do something like that?
Oh, it's probably just some old busybody that doesn't have enough sense to mind her own business.
But I'm not an unfit mother.
No, we know that. We know. But that's why you should be living here with
mother,
us.
Mother, I don't need a lecture.
Okay.
Unfit mother. That is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
The Miami girl bounces in, then stops.
I just need to heat up this oil.
Tommy points her in the right direction. Daytime. In a downtown office building, Monica waits nervously in a hallway. Jeanette and Tommy wander out of an elevator.
There you are. We have been up and down every one of these hallways, and let me tell you, there are a lot of them.
Oh, sweet mama, they got signs everywhere.
Is that the lady?
Yes.
Tommy hurries off.
Hey, is she okay?
Oh, yeah. Authority figures give her the willies. Reminds her of the nuns at the orphanage.
Well, she's got to pull herself together. This is important.
She'll be fine. She drank half a bottle of wine in the car on the way over.
She's drunk.
Hardly. Half a bottle of wine isn't even enough to make her pleasant. Now, how do I look?
In a conference room.
I'm sorry. It's against bureau policy to give out the name of the person who reported you. Kind of discourages people from calling in.
Well, they should be discouraged. I think everybody should just mind their own damn business. That's what I always say. Isn't that what I always say? Yeah.
So anyone can just call in and make accusations?
Well, now, it's not a perfect system, but we sit down and we talk. And if I feel there's some validity to the claim, we'll schedule a home visit. But you must try to keep in mind, we are only trying to do what's best for Nivea.
Nivea. That's heaven spelled backwards. Isn't that clever?
Very. What kind of work do you do, Monica?
I've been doing a little hostessing.
In a restaurant?
Yes. That's what I assumed she meant. You know, it's not usually necessary to bring in character witnesses.
We just want you to understand what a devoted mother she is.
Oh, so devoted. I mean, I never doted on Jeanette and her sister the way Monica looks after Nevaeh. You never saw anything like it. I probably can't smoke in here, can I?
The caseworker frowns.
Tell her about school. She wants to go back to school, be a nurse or a hygienist or something like that. She loves helping
Mama,
people.
Please, just let me handle this.
Okay.
Look, I don't know what that file says about me, but I love my daughter, and I would never do anything to hurt her.
And she is doing such a good job of getting her act together. She is really trying to start a whole new life.
Monica covers her face.
Well, what was wrong with the old one?
The women trade glances. Later, they get in an elevator.
Well, I'm think that went well. I don't know what I was so nervous about. What?
Monica pouts. Outside, a man lights Tommy's cigarette.
Thank you. Nothing like a twinkling smile and a little nicotine to make a lady's day. Oh, excuse me. Sorry.
As she opens her phone, Jeanette walks with Monica.
The point is, I didn't want you to say anything. I was handling it, Mama Me. I was handling it. All you had to do was just sit there and be supportive. But you couldn't even do that, could you?
I was too, being supportive.
Mama, you were a lot of things in there, but supportive definitely wasn't one of them.
Oh, now you're just rewriting history. The point is, you're a wonderful mother, and no one is going to take her away from you.
But they certainly hell are if you keep doing the talking.
You need to get yourself a job, get some money together, make sure Nevaeh is looked after, and just show them you're a responsible parent.
Oh, now there's an idea. Mama, don't you think I've been looking for work?
Dr. Lipton is having a boat party on Saturday. I know he'd love to see you.
See me?
Mm-hmm. Oh, come on. It'll be fun.
Monica stops walking.
How much fun?
$1,500 worth. And you love Uncle Howard.
Good old Uncle Howard. No. I don't want to. That's not what I want to do.
And just what do you want to do? Strap a mattress to your back and set up shop on Airline Highway?
So those are my only options, huh?
No, honey. I'm just trying to help.
Yeah, I know, Mama. You're always just trying to help.
Monica looks off with a distant stare.
What time on Saturday?
Nighttime. A 50-foot yacht cruises past a restaurant. On board, several men party with the Canal Street girls. Howard wanders through the party. He hugs a girl in a skimpy outfit, then does a shot with another. Monica wears a tight pink dress as she flirts with another partygoer. Later, Howard holds Monica close. They kiss. A woman in a backless red dress slips its halter top over her head as men ogle her. Howard gapes as she slides her hands down her sides. In a private cabin, a man hastily removes his shirt as a woman slinks across a bed toward him. In another cabin, Howard lies across Monica, who wears a pink bra and panties. He sniffs a line of cocaine off her bare belly. He rubs the excess on his gums. As she giggles, he kisses her stomach. In the main cabin, a couple makes out on the couch. A man lies passed out across three bar stools, and another couple embraces passionately. Later, Monica dresses as Howard grabs a glass of bourbon.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure. As long as I can reserve the right to refuse to answer.
Do you ever use those special assistants?
You mean nurses?
No, they're trained past nursing. They get to do procedures and stuff.
Oh, physician's assistants. No, I don't use them. A lot of offices do. You thinking about branching out?
Well, I read a magazine article. Mm-hmm. It sounded kind of interesting, you know? Like something I might want to do.
It's a good idea. They're in demand. Not as much as your current line of work.
Howard reaches for his pants, fetching Monica a wad of cash.
Extra.
She stuffs it into the front of her dress.
It's for Nevaeh's college fund.
Uncle Howard.
She gives the shirtless doctor a firm kiss.
Thank you.
He beams over his tuft of gray chest hair. Later, Howard stumbles off the yacht with three girls. As the girls wander off, Howard approaches his sedan.
Dr. Lipton.
Yeah?
FBI, you're under arrest.
What?
Put your hands on top of your coat.
Arrest? What are you talking about?
Anything you say,
hey, no one of those girls is underage. I swear.
Glad to hear it, Doc. That's not why we're here.
Later, in a prosecutor's office.
You had to figure you'd get caught one of these days. Come on, ripping off Medicare to the tune of $2 million. We're slow, but we're not that slow.
I want to see my lawyer.
I would, too. If I were facing as much jail time as you are, I'd be scared to death.
Your lawyer's on his way.
Of course, your lawyer's going to take one look at what we have on you.
And what?
Well, he's going to pray to the good Lord that we're in the mood to cut a deal. He's going to be disappointed.
Why can't we make a deal? You guys are always making deals. I know things. I'm not the only one. I know other doctors. I can give you names.
Not real clear on this whole little fish gives up the big fish game, are you? Coffee boys?
Taking hookers. Cross state lines, that's illegal, right?
Violation of the Mann Act.
Wow, you really don't know how this works. You see, we can now add those charges.
No, not me. This is big time stuff. I mean, it's like organized crime kind of stuff. They've been bringing hookers in from Miami, Pittsburgh, and New York to work in a brothel here. It's a whole racket.
All right, we're listening.
This can only help me, right?
Like I said, we are listening.
They've been moving whores in and out of a dozen cities like pieces on a chessboard. And they're trafficking in drugs, too. Getting away with it for years.
Howard trembles.
I'll tell you anything you want to know.
All right. Start writing. Names. Dates. Everything.
As the prosecutor and two FBI agents watch, Howard puts Jeanette's name at the top of the list. Daytime. A man in a gray suit strides past a rundown home on Canal Street. On the second floor, a clean-shaven FBI agent peers through binoculars. He watches the suited man approach the brothel's door.
Where do these guys find the time in the middle of the day?
Down here, we call it a lunch hour special.
Yeah. Well, back in Minneapolis, it usually just includes an extra large drink and a side salad.
Wearing plain clothes, the two agents start a tape recorder and listen in.
Tommy here. Hey, Tommy. It's Ronnie Shire. I heard you got a new girl.
Big time financier.
Word sure travels fast. They say women are gossips and boys are terrible.
Guilty. So what's she like?
Oh, you're gonna love Cheryl. She's in from Boston. She's got the kind of boobs you like. And darling face.
Will she suck my toes?
I'll ask her.
How's 9 tonight? The usual place.
She'll be there.
And Tommy, if she could bring a little something extra.
She writes in a notebook.
Oh, she'll have everything you need, honey. Don't you worry.
Tommy, you're the best.
Bye-bye.
As she hangs up, Tommy notices her cigarette in the kitchen sink. She plucks it from the sudsy water.
That was my last one.
At the stakeout.
Man, just another prostitute peddling granny. Looking to make a living. What are we doing here, man? This isn't even a federal issue. The local guys should be handling this one.
Trafficking human beings across state lines is a federal issue.
Hey, they don't call this place Sin City for nothing.
The agents put their headsets back on and record Tommy's call.
Hello?
Hi, Cheryl. It's Tommy.
Oh, hi, Tommy.
I've booked you for tonight at 9 o'clock downtown, but you're going to have to stop by the house and pick up the bag.
The bag?
You know. Ronnie's one of those boys who needs a few treats before he can have his fun.
Racketeering and drugs. Sounds like a federal issue to me.
In a bedroom, Jeanette lies in rumpled sheets.
It would be quintessential New Orleans. Good music, fine food.
What you were thinking about the whole time we were...
No. Honestly, baby, no.
BB dresses.
Not the whole time. But don't you think it's a good idea? An elegant, old-fashioned piano bar, and then a classic red velvet bordello just up the stairs. It's what every tourist expects to find when they come here, and it doesn't exist.
You'd make a fortune.
I was hoping we'd make a fortune.
Well, then we'd have to lose the up-the-stairs part.
Why? You always say invest in what you know.
Yeah, well, I'm not so sure I could convince my partners to go into the whorehouse business, no matter how much you gussy it up. But, trust me, we'd make a fortune.
So you'll think about it?
I'll do you one better. I'll start putting some numbers together.
Of course, it'd have to be a 60-40 split since I would be doing all the work as usual.
As usual?
Mm-hmm.
I'll show you as usual.
He playfully dives on top of her. Later, Tommy does paperwork at a desk under the staircase. Jeanette walks by in a nightgown.
Hi, Mama.
Hi, baby. How's baby?
Oh, you know, baby. He's always good.
You're not forgetting he's a happily married man, are you?
No, I'm not, Mama.
Jeanette?
Uh-huh.
You haven't heard from your sister, have you?
No. I think if hell froze over, someone would have mentioned it. Why?
Oh, I've been trying to call her. You know, I've left her some messages. It's no big deal.
Uh-huh.
I found some recipes that I thought she might like. You know, without pecans.
Mama, how's our cash flow doing? Suppose I needed an extra $100,000 to do a little expanding.
Oh, I'd just call our banker in Zurich and have him wire the funds. We don't have two nickels to rub together until Dr. Howard pays his bill. And I've been calling him. I haven't heard from him in weeks. I think he's dodging my calls.
He'll take mine.
Nighttime. In a restaurant in the bustling French Quarter, Jeanette sits opposite Howard.
Howard, we've been friends for a long time. And if you've got any problems, I wish you would just tell me about it, you know? I hate talking about this stuff.
Well, you shouldn't have to. I know I owe you a lot of money. I'm just having a little cash flow problem.
Well, I'm familiar.
Howard takes an envelope from his jacket pocket.
This should make things a little easier.
Beaming, Jeanette takes the envelope. Howard glances around nervously and drinks his cocktail. As Jeanette checks the envelope's contents, her smile fades.
$3,000, Howard? Three? I mean, this isn't enough to cover the liquor. I'm still out $35.
I know. I'm sorry. Please don't hate me.
Oh, Howard, I can never hate you.
You mean it?
Yes, I mean it. You're like family.
Thanks. I needed to hear that. Just give that to Tommy. Tell her the rest is on the way.
This isn't even enough for Tommy to concern herself with, trust me. But don't worry, I'll put it to good use.
Jeanette grins slyly and Howard nods.
Uh-oh. I bet you will, baby.
Yeah, that's right, I will.
They clink glasses. Now high-rises on the New Orleans waterfront are silhouetted against a pink sky. Elsewhere on the water, a riverboat's brightly lit sign reads, Natchez. The boat's twinkling lights reflect in the water as it glides down the river. Inside, a cashier gives a stack of chips to Jeanette and Beebe.
Thank you, Melva.
As Jeanette and Beebe leave, a man steps up to the cashier. The dark-suited man flashes an FBI badge. Now at a craps table, a gray-haired man blows on a pair of dice before tossing them onto the table, throwing a 9.
Okay, I'm gonna back it up here. One more time.
He throws the dice again.
7, 9,
go win.
All right, Al, that's it for me.
Thanks, Junior. Are you done for the night?
Well, as any good country boy knows, you gotta know when to fold them, and for me, it's when I'm still up.
$18,000.
Every night.
I'm molesting you to take care of these boys. Can't mind playing with you.
As Jeanette rounds a corner, Lanier spots her.
Jeanette?
She turns.
Oh. Lanier. Long time.
Yeah.
She kisses his cheek.
I'm sure you two know each other.
Oh, yeah, you're Jake and Annie's boy.
Nice to see you.
You look good. Life must have treated you well.
Well, you know me. I'm not one to complain. Hey, you're looking good, too.
Jeanette smiles awkwardly.
Well, don't let me keep you two from the games.
But I'd better warn you first. I just about cleared them out.
Oh, we'll take our chances.
You take care now.
Yeah, sure thing.
Beebe steers Jeanette away.
Lanier? Suppose I needed a good lawyer.
That'd be Roy Tessier. He's the best.
Is everything okay?
Oh, yeah. Nothing to worry about. Thanks.
The couple walks off.
Here to explain?
Lanier? He's an old friend of my mom's. I haven't seen him in a long time, that's all. He used to like to give me advice about my future. Just for a while there, he really thought I was something.
Well, I bet he did.
It wasn't like that. We were just friends.
What happened?
I guess that disappointed him.
Well, I know I'd be disappointed if...
Oh, you know what? You're horrible. Come on, I'm feeling lucky.
Morning. A freighter glides down the river bathed in pale light. On a street, people stroll past quaint shops. Jeanette and Monica buy ice cream from a vendor, then head down the street, pushing Nevaeh in her stroller. The two FBI agents approach the vendor.
Oh, we swapped that bill she gave you for 1 hour.
The agent gives a knowing nod to the vendor, who complies.
Thank you, my man.
With Jeanette, Monica, and the baby.
Damn it! Oh, baby, oh my
She wipes ice cream from Nevaeh's face.
I can't keep you looking decent for 2 seconds. Yeah, it's okay. Mama's here. Don't worry. It's all right.
Hey, it's just ice cream, Monica. It's gonna be fine.
No, it's not fine. Child Services called me this morning, and they said they're going to continue the investigation. And they're going to come and they're going to inspect my apartment, and they're going to take her away from me. I'm not tough like you. She's all I have.
Everything is going to be fine. I was worried about something like this, and so I got the name of a good lawyer. Nobody is taking Nevaeh anywhere. Okay, and when you're working, your grandmother and me will look after her. Now, how can Child Services complain if she's being looked after by your own grandmother? Hmm?
In Tommy's kitchen, she pours whiskey. She puts the lid back on the half-filled bottle and sits.
Tommy here.
Hey, Tommy. It's Dave. I hear Monica's working again.
Monica? Oh, I don't know anything about that. I don't book her schedule.
Hey, don't hold out on me, Tommy. A friend of mine saw her at one of Howard Lipton's parties.
Tommy squeezes her eyes shut.
We got a new girl in from Los Angeles. She's real cute. I think you'd like her.
I want Monica, Tommy. Yes or no?
Staring sadly, Tommy swallows and bites her lip. She reaches for the notebook.
Do you want to see her?
Pursing her lips, she stares tearfully at the book, then opens it. Morning. Sun streams through the kitchen window. Our view moves across the room to the table where the bedraggled Tommy sits in her hot pink satin robe. Smoke wafts from a cigarette in her hand, and the whiskey bottle sits nearly empty. Her mascara smudges her bleary eyes. Now our view moves across the street to the stakeout in the neighboring run-down mansion. The clean-shaven agent and his goateed partner sit at the surveillance table with coffee and muffins. As the goateed agent stirs his coffee, the other listens to Jeanette through his headphones.
It's too early, man. I mean, who ever heard of hookers working this time of the morning?
No, this is good. She's negotiating a trade with a New York brothel.
You're going to have to find a better place for them to live.
I promise this time I'll take care of them. It'll be... Oh, my God. Jeanette, turn on the television. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Elsewhere, Monica stares at the TV, holding Nevaeh.
2 airplanes have crashed into the World Trade Center in an apparent terrorist attack on our country.
In the brothel, Jeanette watches TV.
Armageddon, baby.
If anyone has any idea if they've seen him or knows where he is, call us. He's got 2 little babies.
Now in the prosecutor's office.
Jimmy, the world changed yesterday. Obviously, the agency's priorities need to shift. I think we should walk away.
Walk away? This case represents one of the vilest forms of racketeering there is. That's the exploitation of women for the sake of a buck.
Did we ever find the drugs?
We have no hard evidence, but we know it's in the house somewhere.
After taping 5,000 phone calls, you still have them. End this now. Bring them in. Make it fast. No television crews. No grandstanding. Low key. If you really think this is worth your time, then I suggest you make me and the rest of the world believe it.
Trust me. When we're done with these women, there won't be any doubt.
Now at the brothel, women in lingerie socialize with men. Jeanette gathers up empty liquor bottles.
Be careful of her. She doesn't look too bright. It's good to see you.
Thank you.
Oh, well, I guess you two got to know each other. Anybody need a drink?
Y'all are on coke, Jeanette. Thanks.
We'll see you around 11.
In the kitchen.
Bye-bye. Oh, my God. This stupid thing never stops ringing. World goes to hell in a handbasket, and our girls are on their backs for a week.
Nobody knows what's going to happen tomorrow.
She pours herself some coffee.
Either last time. I swear, now more than ever, I think they just want somebody to talk to. Scared to be alone.
Trust me, I know the feeling. I don't know where I'd be without you. Hopefully someplace without cell phones.
And this afternoon we're going to clean out the storage room and set up a playroom for Nevaeh. I'm going to insist that they move back here. This is no time for them to be out there on their own.
Yeah, well, just make sure that your sister doesn't get wind of it. She'd probably go crazy if she knew Nevaeh was actually living here.
Oh, don't I know it. Who knows who she'd call then?
Yeah, this time she probably sick the National Guard on us.
I knew it was Lee that reported Monica.
No, that's not true.
Oh, you probably told her that she got picked up out on airline. Mama, why can't you keep your mouth shut?
I swear I didn't say anything.
Do you know that Monica could lose her baby because of that self-righteousness?
No, she would never do anything to cause anybody any trouble. Oh, please don't say anything. She will be so upset.
Oh, and I so don't want to upset my big sister.
Jeanette!
As Jeanette storms out, Tommy puts her hand to her forehead. Now in a clean, sunny home, a petite redhead sorts through mail as she enters through the front door.
Must be nice to live somewhere where you don't have to lock the door.
Jeanette sits in a chair.
Don't do that!
Oh, right. You hate surprises. Forgot. Sorry.
And I wish you wouldn't smoke in here.
And I wish you wouldn't keep sticking your nose where it doesn't belong. Life's full of disappointment.
Coffee?
Sure.
The redhead approaches a coffee maker.
Lee, how could you do this? She's my daughter. Don't you think I would be the first one to act if I thought there was something wrong?
Forgive me for not trusting your sense of right and wrong.
I would never let anything happen to Nevaeh.
I remember you saying the same thing about Monica.
I was 16 when I had her. Crying out loud, I did the best I could. She's going to go back to school. Be a nurse. Or something.
I won't bet the farm.
Jeanette eyes her from across the room.
But I sincerely hope she follows through this time. It'd be nice to see her make something of herself.
Now, what the hell is that supposed to mean?
Nothing. Nothing.
When are you gonna... I love what I do. I'm not hurting anyone. And the only reason your perfect little world exists is because of me. I let men unwind. Feel good about themselves.
Would you listen to yourself? You're a walking rationalization.
You're the one that's rationalizing. You can't even imagine for one second that what I do isn't ugly and dirty.
I don't have to imagine it. I lived it. No kid should have to go through what we went through. Ugly and dirty? Oh, you're being kind.
No good comes from living in the past.
Not if you learn from your mistakes. Jeanette. I know the only reason I'm here today is because you protected me from the worst of it. It should have been the other way around, but I just couldn't.
Somebody had to look out for Mama, make sure she didn't get too upset or take too many of her pills.
That's not what I'm talking about.
Jeanette nervously averts her gaze.
I am trying to live my life the only way I know how.
I'm just trying to tell you there might be another way.
I know what I'm doing.
Lee's eyes well with tears, and she nods.
The only reason I came here was to tell you to stay away from my family.
Lee meets Jeanette's gaze. As Jeanette walks to the door and leaves, Lee stares pensively. Now holding a glass of wine, Tommy faces Monica.
I'm sorry. I know I should have told you, but... Well, it wouldn't have changed anything. I mean, Lee has a mind of her own.
I can't believe you still even talk to that woman.
She's still my daughter. You know, if you ever have another one, you'll see. It was different with Lee. Your mama and I were always like sisters. And she was so responsible.
I doubt you gave her much of a choice.
Now, don't you take that tone with me. I did the best I could. That's all anybody can ask. Just like you're doing the best you can with your baby. That's all anybody can ask.
I still hate her.
Well, that's all right. I mean, that's what families are all about.
They share a laugh.
All right, I gotta get in the bed.
So where's this playroom I've been hearing so much about?
Well, it's not finished yet. I thought tomorrow I'd run up some curtains. Of course, it would help if I knew how to sew.
One of the girls enters.
It's almost 7. Did you still need me to watch Nevaeh?
Yes, Brittany. Yeah, that'd be helpful.
As Brittany leaves, Monica stares quizzically at Tommy.
This guy Dave called, and he wanted to spend some time with you tonight.
Monica gazes sadly at her grandmother.
You booked me? You never done that before.
No, but, you know, he called. It was almost 2 in the morning, and I didn't know what to do.
Is he out there now?
Yeah, he should be.
Monica lays a handful of Nevaeh's toys in Tommy's lap, gets up, and gulps from a glass of wine. As she heads toward the parlor, Tommy tearfully averts her gaze. Monica stands in the doorway and searches the room full of men. As Tommy watches, a middle-aged man eagerly approaches Monica, and she greets him with a grin. Taking his hand, Monica leads him upstairs. Tommy leans her head sadly against the door frame as she watches her granddaughter. Now the girls and their customers sing around a birthday cake. A blonde man blows out the cake's candles. Now outside, FBI agents scurry through the shadows toward the brothel and gather at the front door. Inside, Jeanette licks frosting from a candle.
I got a pretty good feeling this year. Your wish is gonna come true.
Grinning, the man raises his eyebrows. Jeanette goes to the door.
FBI!
As the agents rush in, the girls and their customers scatter.
Let's get out of here.
Seeing the agents, Tommy motions to Brittany.
Get the Nevaeh out of here. Oh, nobody move! On the count!
As Tommy closes the door behind Brittany and Nevaeh, an agent enters.
Let's go! Into the other room!
Upstairs, Monica looks around frantically.
Where's Nevaeh? Where's Nevaeh?
This way. Come on, man.
Monica looks out a window and spots Brittany running out of the yard with Nevaeh in her arms.
Nevaeh!
Now an agent shows a warrant.
This is a federal search warrant.
Okay, well, I still don't understand what's going on.
I mean, we're just having a party. I mean, it's no law against having a party, is there?
All right, none of you are committing any federal crime. Leave your name and your number with Agent Reese, and you're free to go.
Listen, you can save yourself one hell of a mess and just tell us where the drugs are.
We don't have any drugs.
What are you talking about? This is a drug-free house.
All right. Now would be a good time to start cooperating, okay? Where's the bag? The bag. The bag. We heard you bring it back from the drop this morning. Where the hell's the bag?
Oh, the bag. Oh, it's in the desk, in the bottom drawer.
As the goateed agent goes to the desk, Tommy trades a sly look with Jeanette. He returns with a pink plastic bag and hands it to his partner. The agent dumps the bag's contents onto a table, revealing a pair of red fur handcuffs, a whip, a feather, and other adult paraphernalia. Tommy raises her eyebrows, and Jeanette and Monica laugh. The agent turns.
Tear this place apart! Let's get these girls out of here.
Come on, ladies, let's go.
As the agents exit the house with the women, reporters and photographers surround them.
So much for low keys.
The goateed agent leads a handcuffed Jeanette, followed by Tommy and Monica. Daytime. In a courtroom, Jimmy confers with the two agents and his assistant. At the defense table, Tommy faces Jeanette.
I've never had to sit down before a judge before. I mean, all the times I've been arrested, never.
Well, that's a record to be proud of, Mama.
Their lawyer leans in.
Let's just get through this bail hearing, and I'm sure I can sort out this whole silly misunderstanding.
We're not going to have to post bail, are we? I mean, we don't have any money.
It's usually just a token amount. There's nothing to worry about.
No one's going to let us rot in jail. We have too many friends. I already called BB and Uncle Howard right after I called Roy here.
All rise!
United States District Court, Eastern District of Louisiana is now in session. The Honorable Thomas Adashek presiding.
All right, let's get on with it. I understand the prosecution requested the defendant's bail be denied.
What? That's insane. They're not murderers.
Your Honor, we consider the defendants to be a serious flight risk. They have no significant ties within the community. We have reason to believe they have substantial cash hidden away. There's nothing to keep them from running. The people ask that they remain in custody.
Your Honor, I'm slightly embarrassed to admit this, but I'm not exactly sure why we're all here. This case boils down to nothing more than simple prostitution, which, last time I looked, violates no federal statute. And as for not having any significant ties within the community, well, I would argue that there are very few within this community with whom my clients haven't had ties. We respectfully request that the defendants be released on their own recognizance.
Normally, I'd be inclined to agree with you. But considering the state of the world, I'm assuming that Washington wouldn't send these boys down here if their claims didn't have validity. I'm granting bail. Miss Mayer, $100,000.
What?
Ms. Montemayor, $50,000. Ms. Taylor, $30,000.
This is outrageous. Women don't have this kind of money.
You've got to do something.
I only answer the telephone.
You can't take it away. Don't worry, I will call BB again. He'll take care of everything, I promise.
I'll stand bail, Your Honor.
Lanier stands.
Hello, Lanier. You signing on for the whole $180,000?
I'm in for the whole thing. Unless Your Honor would like to share the burden.
Thanks, but I believe I'll leave the whole task to your very capable checkbook. Once bail has been posted, the defendants are free to go. This court is adjourned.
Lanier nods to Jeanette. Later, they walk down a hallway.
150 brothels in this town, they have to go single us out?
Well, all I can figure is you must have done something to really piss some people off. Either that or they want something from you.
Well, what on earth have we got to offer?
I don't know. Maybe they're after your client list.
My client list? No, you could forget about that right now. I start naming names, I will never work in this town again. This is a business built on discretion. Everything I've worked for, be as good as gone.
Well, it might be gone whether you like it or not. Now, I've got a car out front, but there's going to be a lot of press. So just keep your head down, walk straight on through.
I've never kept my head down a day in my life.
Jeanette!
It's just a bunch of men. Nothing we can't handle.
She adjusts her cleavage.
Let's go.
Outside.
Jeanette, what do you think about the FBI tapping your phone in the weeks around 9/11?
Well, in my line of work, I met a lot of men who like to watch, but this is the first time I met any who just like to listen.
Is it true that your clients are among the most prominent men in town?
Well, my mama taught me never to kiss and tell, but if it's names you're after, well, how about I start with some of the reporters I know?
Her gaze circles the crowd.
And I just want to say one more thing. They're going to regret the day that they decided to pick on three poor Southern women, because we are not going down without a fight.
As reporters crowd in closer, Jeanette gets into the back of a car with her daughter and mother. Now on a street corner, one of the brothel patrons reads a newspaper article headlined, Three Generations Busted. The guy gapes. Beside a swimming pool, another stunned patron spots the article. Elsewhere, Howard looks up from the paper and gazes sadly out over a marina. Now in a restaurant, a bartender faces a customer.
In a Monera, man. Going to turn the whole quarter into Disneyland. Mm-hmm.
At a nearby table, Roy sits with Tommy, Monica, and Jeanette.
I just don't see what the big deal is. It's not like we were going out getting 14-year-old girls, pulling them off the street and making them hookers. These were professional women who booked in with us.
Bringing women across state lines for the purpose of prostitution is what the feds call racketeering.
Really? We call it vacationing.
It's so totally random. If I want to do a porno and get paid to have sex in front of a camera...
Monica!
Grandma, calm down. My point is, it's totally legal. But take the camera away and get paid to have sex. It's prostitution.
And did you notice? They let all the men go. All of them. I've never yet seen one man be charged with anything. Not once.
We will definitely be bringing that up at trial, if this goes to trial.
Oh, we're not going to trial. Between us, we have too many influential friends. I already started making phone calls.
Any of them call you back?
Jeanette and Tommy trade worried looks.
I think you might be on your own this time, Jeanette.
No. These are men I know 10, 15 years. They're like family.
We might even call them uncles.
I'm not saying that I want to use it, but is there a client book?
I told you I'm not naming names.
It's in the house.
Well, then, a good chance feds already have it. And we couldn't get it anyway, even if we wanted to. It's a crime scene. There's one other thing I want to talk to you about. I'm recommending that Monica get her own lawyer.
Why?
Why on earth would she want to do that?
Because her interests might not coincide with yours. You two ran the business. Monica was just an employee. And they're not interested in a charge of prostitution. Besides, Monica's got a child to consider. I know a good guy, J.P. Calhoun.
Roy offers Monica a business card.
It's okay.
Tommy notices photographers at the window.
Would you look at them all out there? It's New Orleans, for crying out loud. You'd think a couple of old hookers wouldn't be such a big deal.
There's a back way out of here. You never know when somebody's wife is going to show up unexpectedly.
Are you still okay staying at Lanier's?
Of course. He said we can stay as long as we like. We got a babysitter for Nevaeh.
When are you going to drink that?
Tommy takes Monica's Bloody Mary.
Choice, I'll bring the glass back.
Tommy leaves with the cocktail. Monica follows, stuffing Calhoun's card into the back pocket of her denim miniskirt. Nighttime. In a country mansion, Monica watches Tommy and Jeanette glumly.
We're having the Christmas we spent in the emergency room because Lee broke her leg when she fell out of a tree trying to fly.
Christmas in the ER. And you always say I never took you and your sister anywhere.
There was nobody there in the emergency room except for that woman in labor and this funny old man with a long white beard who cut his hand. So Mama says he's Santa Claus and he fell out of his sleigh. We were so excited. We didn't really quite believe it. But then when we woke up, there were two $100 bills that he had left for both of us.
Monica shuts her eyes.
Oh, Mama, can I ask you something?
You don't want to know.
Monica gazes over a can of beer.
It's amazing what counts as a happy memory around here. Amazing and pathetic.
What is your problem?
I spoke to that lawyer. The one Roy recommended.
Monica meets her mother's gaze. Jeanette shifts in her chair.
What'd he say?
He said there's a good chance that people will see me as a victim.
Jeanette's eyes widen. Tommy glances from her granddaughter to Jeanette.
And just how are you a victim?
Monica drops her gaze.
You can't make somebody do something they don't want to do.
Maybe it's not about making somebody do something. Maybe it's about making them believe that they can't do anything else.
I have always supported everything that you wanted to do.
Yeah, I just had a whole great big world of options, didn't I?
Don't go blaming me.
All right, stop. There's no time for us to be turning on each other. The only way we're going to get through this mess is if we stick together.
Tommy lifts her drink. Jeanette rolls her eyes.
Well, it's getting late.
She stands.
Somebody has to thank our host.
Jeanette strolls out past Monica's couch. Now Lanier sits up in bed reading a newspaper.
Yes?
Jeanette opens the door, wearing a sheer black robe over her bra and panties, and holds up a drink.
Room service. Just came to see if you needed to be tucked in.
Thanks. But I'm at the age where I like to let it all hang out.
Well, it's awfully cold tonight.
She slinks into the room.
Here I am.
She sits on the bed.
With almost nothing on.
So is this your way of asking to borrow a robe?
Quit teasing, Lanier.
Believe me, teasing you is the last thing that's on my mind.
I just wanted to show you how grateful I am.
She gazes into his eyes.
You saved our lives.
And you're afraid a simple thank you won't quite do the trick, huh?
As Jeanette's smile fades, Lanier takes her hand in his.
Hasn't anyone ever done something nice for you without wanting something extra in return?
Jeanette's gaze drifts toward the ceiling.
Well, Santa Claus once gave me $100, but I think my mother provided the something extra.
Jeanette's expression sobers, and Lanier touches her chin.
Going back to bed, Jeanette. You don't owe me anything.
Jeanette drops her gaze, lets go of Lanier's hand, and stands. She heads for the door.
Despite what you may think, you're worth caring about.
Keeping her back to him, Jeanette nods a little. She leaves.
Night.
Jeanette steps into a hallway with a wrought iron railing overlooking a lower level. Arms folded, she gazes around and puts a hand to her mouth. Tossing back her hair, she heads toward another bedroom door. Daytime. As Jeanette makes toast in Lanier's kitchen, Tommy wanders in, her gaze searching the room.
If I were a coffee filter, where would I be?
I think we need to find someplace else to stay.
What? Where else have we got to go? I thought you and Lanier had things all patched up.
Everything's all patched up. We just need to go.
On TV, Howard exits the courthouse.
Brothel. WLJJ has learned that the government's star witness is Dr. Howard Lipton, a doctor recently indicted for Medicare fraud. In exchange for his testimony...
Oh, my God, Mama.
Dr. Lipton has a...
Oh, my God, what a snake! That low-down snake!
Oh, he's lower than a snake. He's a... whatever's lower than a snake.
Jeanette tears off Howard's pendant.
Spirits. He's the most evil spirit I know!
A maid shows Roy in.
How can he do this to us? What can he even... tell them.
Well, you could tell them that you helped him launder money.
That's ridiculous.
He gave you $3,000 in a public place.
Yeah, and he still owes us $35,000.
It was marked FBI money, witnessed by agents.
Jeanette slumps over a countertop.
I hope he isn't one of those friends you were counting on.
Jeanette straightens, eyes Roy indignantly, and walks out of the kitchen. Tommy puts a hand to her chest. On the mansion's porch, Jeanette dials her cell phone. At a restaurant, Beepy shares a table with three other businessmen.
Yeah, that's right. Excuse me. Beepy.
Hi, stranger.
Beepy glances at the other men.
Hey, it's good to hear from you.
Hear from me? I've only called you 24 times.
Beepy's eyes shift.
Well, that's great. Good to know.
Beepy?
I'm actually right in the middle of something.
Well, so am I, if you haven't heard. Look, I really need you. Right now.
So we'll talk soon.
BB ends the call and smiles at his companions. On the porch, Jeanette taps the phone against her ear as she sobs. Leaning against the railing, Jeanette puts a hand to her lips. On TV.
It comes as an enormous revelation to the American public that there might have been prostitutes in New Orleans. I mean, who knew?
As Jimmy looks away, his boss shuts off the TV.
Have you seen my favorite one?
He shows newspapers.
FBI taps brothel while terrorists take flying lessons. Or maybe you prefer hookers have priority with feds. Or how about FBI snooze while terrorists plot? These are not the local papers, Jimmy. These are from all across the country. Needless to say, the Attorney General is concerned about the publicity this case is generating.
Well, I'm sorry. I must have missed a memo. Is there a new policy that allows the media to dictate the scope of a prosecution?
Look, we all know this Dr. Lipton guy sold you a pile of crap.
We'll decide if perjury should be added to his case at a later date. But the charges against the woman are solid.
And I noticed the drug charges were dropped.
We're just solidifying some of the details.
I'm telling you. wrap this thing up.
Jimmy watches his superior leave, then throws the papers into the wastebasket. Now in another office, Roy sits opposite Jeanette and Tommy.
So Monica has moved back into her own place?
She and Nevaeh left this morning.
On the advice of her attorney.
Well, now he's just looking out for her interests. And now we have started looking out for yours. If, God forbid, this thing should ever go to trial.
Good luck getting a jury of our peers.
We're going to need to establish that you are remorseful for what you've done.
Oh, well, I hope I'm not under oath.
You're going to have to take this seriously.
All right.
Now, what you do from now on is very important. It carries a lot of weight with the judge and the jury.
What exactly are you suggesting, Roy?
I'm suggesting that you go into family counseling.
What?
Jeanette knits her brow.
Oh, no. I have known a lot of shrinks, and they are the most screwed up bunch of perverts on this planet.
Well, I think you should get used to the idea of talking to someone about the way you feel.
Good, because right now, Roy, I feel like killing someone.
Well, I'll see.
Now Tommy, Monica, and Jeanette share a couch opposite a prim blonde woman. Tommy averts her gaze. Monica presses her fists to her temples, leaning forward with her knees up. Jeanette pinches the bridge of her nose. The blonde shifts in her chair.
Well,
if we had any issues, we'd talk about them, okay?
Tommy shrugs.
Why don't you just sign one of those papers that says we were here?
Sorry, not how it works. Maybe I should give you a few minutes alone.
As the psychologist leaves, Jeanette gets up and lights a cigarette. Tommy opens a flask.
What a friggin' waste of $150. I'm telling you, this is the business we should be in.
Well, it's easy money, but my God, I'd die of boredom.
How can you guys say we don't have issues?
Well, not any I'm going to tell her about. Everybody acts like they're so unique, and we're all working through the same crap.
Mom! Our issues are not typical. We're not normal. Do you remember when I was in grade school and you came in for that parent-teacher conference?
What does that...
Monica glares.
I don't remember.
You had sex with him! I walked in on you having sex with my teacher. Those are some of our issues.
Like I said, I don't remember.
Well, I do.
Well, now, no good comes from living in the past. I'm sure your mama was doing the best she could.
Okay, so I wasn't the perfect mother. I'm sorry.
That's it? That's all you can say? I'm sorry? We could be going to jail because of you.
Well, what the hell do you want me to say? What the hell is going to make you feel better and stop blaming me?
Will you just keep your voices down? I mean, she's going to think we're a bunch of lowlifes.
Guess what, Grandma? We are a bunch of lowlifes.
As Tommy bridles, the door opens.
Everything okay in here?
Smiling, Tommy vigorously nods. Monica glares. Jeanette blows smoke rings. Nighttime. Walking along a cracked sidewalk, Jeanette holds a pink shawl around her shoulders. As she reaches a corner to a dark side street, a black sedan blinks its lights twice. Jeanette crosses the street toward the car. Inside, Bibi slouches at the wheel and glances up as she gets in. Jeanette meets his sheepish gaze.
Well, I'll say this about you. You always pick the most romantic spots.
Jeanette, I'm sorry about the other day, but you gotta remember, I got a wife, kids.
A whore on the side.
Come on.
I'm sorry, I'm just trying to figure out my proper place.
She averts her gaze. Bibi's brow furrows as he looks at her.
You know that business proposal I talked to you about?
You gotta be kidding. No, baby, there's no way, even without the brothel part.
Jeanette studies Bibi's face, then glances away from him. Eyes filling with tears, she shakes her head.
Well, I guess there's nothing left for us to talk about then.
Bibi looks away and bites his lower lip.
You haven't told me what about. Have you?
No.
Bibi nods and lets out a sigh.
know. I thought we had something special.
As Bibi beats her gaze, Jeanette's eyes narrow.
You charge me every time, Jeanette, just like everybody else.
Yeah, I did. Old habits.
Jeanette gazes soberly at him, then shrugs.
At least you never bounced a check.
She flashes an unreturned grin, then glances out the window. She leans in and presses her lips to Bibi's, tenderly cupping his face. Jeanette quickly turns away and opens the car door. As Bibi drives off, Jeanette pulls her shawl around her bare shoulders. Daytime. At the restaurant bar, Choice serves Tommy a drink. Pinching a cigarette between her fingers, she removes the straw.
Hey, Choice. What would you think of me hostessing?
Well, no offense, Tommy. Aren't you a little old?
Offense taken, you son of a bitch. You should be so lucky. No, I meant working the front door. You know, showing people to the table. I'm fairly notorious. Might be good for business.
Choice shrugs.
Not a bad idea.
Tommy sips her drink.
Of course, I'll probably have to lock up all my liquor.
As Choice walks away, Tommy stares off glumly.
Yeah, you probably would.
Now at a school, Monica faces a clean-cut young man in an office.
Your SAT scores are good.
Thanks.
Math better than English. Which is okay if you want to pursue something in the medical field. You know, it's a pretty long program. How old are you now?
I'm 21, but I realize that I'm, you know, a little behind.
And you never fulfilled your high school biology requirement. You're missing a few other prerequisites, but you can get all that out of the way next quarter. I don't see any reason why you couldn't start full-time in the fall.
Monica gapes, wide-eyed.
You're kidding, right?
He shakes his head.
You really think I could do that?
She leans over the desk and hugs him.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
As she struts off in her pink micro mini skirt, the counselor smiles and replaces his eyeglasses. Later, carrying a bag of groceries toward her house, Monica slows her pace and squints. A policeman hurries three women out onto her porch. One of them carries Nevaeh to a parked car. Monica drops the groceries and charges at them.
Nevaeh? Hey, where are you going with my baby?
The policeman restrains Monica.
You can't do this! She's my baby! Hey! Let me go! I'm her mother!
It's all right. We're with Child Services.
No, it's not all right!
Got to calm down.
Baby.
We have an instantial order signed by Judge Stanley. It authorizes us to take custody of the baby.
You can't! No, you can't!
Monica slaps the policeman with her purse and breaks free.
No! Nevaeh! No, please! Please don't go!
Monica bangs on her daughter's window. As the car drives off, Monica stares after it from the street.
No, please don't go! Nevaeh!
Now Monica parks her car at Lee's house and scurries to the door, tugging at her micro mini. Inside, kneeling at a playpen, Lee sees her niece coming and latches the screen door.
Oh, don't you see? Open this door!
Monica, calm down!
Open up this door!
Monica!
Come on, please! Aunt Lee, please, come on. Let me in. I have to see her.
I'm sorry. It's against the rules.
You took my baby. Isn't that against the rules?
I did not take her. The state asked me to watch over her.
None of this would have happened if you hadn't
intervened. Monica, you have got to stop blaming other people. I only did what I had to do. What I felt was in Nevaeh's best interest.
David, I'm in her best interest.
Lee starts to shut the door.
Don't close the door, please.
Monica presses her palms together.
Just... She likes blueberries. It's all she'll eat if you let her. And she really likes to be held before she goes to sleep. Oh, please let me see her, Aunt Lee. I promise I won't bother you again.
Look, I'm truly sorry, Monica, but you're gonna have to go.
No,
I'm sorry.
She closes the door.
God.
Monica tries the doorknob, then gives up and slouches her shoulders. Her hands hang at her sides as she turns toward the street. Now on Lanier's estate, Jeanette gently rocks Monica in a bench swing.
Before she was born, I didn't even know if I wanted her. But then the minute I held her, I never even knew it was possible to love something so much.
I know what you mean. I'm just never as good at showing it as you are.
You do okay.
They both sip from beer cans. Leaning on one of the swing's angled supports, Jeanette gazes absently. Monica stares at her with a thoughtful frown. She rests her head on her arm, fixing her gaze on her mother.
What?
Nothing. I was just thinking about this one time I saw you dancing at that bar in Harahan. It must have been only 8 or 9.
God, the cheating heart. It was right before I opened the brothel, my feeble attempt at creating a stable home environment.
There were all these lights and men were cheering. You look so beautiful. It was amazing. I thought you looked like an angel.
If angels wore pasties and a G-string.
So then every night after that, when I got in bed, I would just lie there and dream of being just like you.
Oh, let's hope that's a wish that doesn't ever come true.
Uh-huh.
Gazing sadly, Monica scoots down the bench swing closer to her mother.
Maybe it's not the worst thing that Nevaeh stays with Lee for a while.
How can you say that?
Well, if you had been raised by somebody else, you wouldn't be confusing angels with hookers.
Jeanette meets Monica's imploring gaze.
You want another beer?
Yeah, sure.
Jeanette quickly walks off, then stops a few paces away, keeping her back to her daughter.
You do whatever you need to do, okay?
As Jeanette walks away, Monica shifts her gaze and leans back in the swing. Now in the city, a trolley heads down a street. Roy joins Tommy and Jeanette in his office.
I am sorry to keep you waiting. Got a little good news. Have you seen today's paper?
Mm-mm.
The prosecutors tried to turn our case over to the New Orleans Parish DA, who said, and I quote, "No, thank you. We are confident that the federal government can do a fine job by itself on this case," end quote. Prosecutors do not look to dump a strong case, and DAs don't say no to a strong case.
I have found in my considerable life experience that a little good news is often followed by a little bad.
Well, they made us an offer.
Well, are you going to tell us what it is?
Well, I'd rather not, to be honest. I'm just not sure how I feel about it. But I suppose I have to. Monica does no jail time and 18 months probation. Tommy does 6 months. You do 4.
4 years.
Jeanette stares blankly.
I can't go to jail. This isn't right. I just did the books. I didn't do anything wrong.
And if we do go to prosecutors don't look to dump a strong case, end quote, trial?
Well, there is a chance that the good Lord be smiling down on us and we all go free. But there's also a chance that if you're found guilty, Monica could get some jail time. Now, the more likely scenario, if we don't take this plea, is that Monica would get a separate deal and testify against you. In which case, depending on how much of a performance she gives, there's a chance that you could both be going away for a long time.
Well, she'd never do that. We're family.
As Tommy looks to her daughter, Jeanette averts her gaze, now at Monica's house. Monica answers her cell phone.
Hello?
Monica, it's JP.
We got the plea offer, and it's everything we're hoping for.
Great. I'll be right down.
Now at Lanier's house, Tommy opens a bottle of liquor.
Well, I don't believe it for a second. Monica would never turn on us, never.
Why wouldn't she?
Well, I'm her grandmother, for starters.
Yeah, well, you never acted at a day in your life.
Now, what's that supposed to mean?
Nothing, just...
Jeanette slices a pickle.
Forget it, Mama. You heard what he said. If we go to trial, there's a chance Monica could go to jail.
Yeah, and if we don't go to trial, you and I both are definitely going to jail.
She's got a child here she's trying to protect.
Well, that sounds awfully maternal coming from you.
Well, I learned from the best.
I know I wasn't perfect, but I did the best I could.
Jeanette lifts her head.
No, no, you didn't, and I'm sick to death of hearing you say it. You could have done something. You could have done anything.
Well, I don't even know what you're talking about.
Yes, you do. You know. You left me there. You went out at night and you left us there alone. Lee hiding under the bed and me having to deal with whatever uncle was just roaming around the house.
Well, you should have said something.
I was 8. What was I supposed to say? And I knew you knew. I was waiting for you to come back and stop it, but you never did.
I didn't know. I swear to you, I didn't know.
And then I figured something out. If I offered it before they took it, I have the power. Whatever horrible thing was being done to me, I was in control.
As Jeanette sobs, Tommy's eyes fill with tears.
And nobody could hurt me, not even you.
Oh, don't say that. Don't say that. I never wanted to hurt you. My kids were the most important things in the world to me. I was out working, sometimes holding down 2 jobs. I loved you. I never hurt you.
Jeanette turns away from her mother's outstretched arms.
Mama, I turned my first trick for a quarter.
Tommy leans on the counter, sobbing.
I didn't know.
What didn't you know? That I needed the money for food? That I was being molested? That I wasn't going to school? What didn't you know?
Tears stream down Jeanette's cheeks.
Well, I guess I should have protected you more. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
For 30 years, I've been waiting for you to say those words.
She shakes her head.
But it doesn't change a damn thing.
Her mother drops her gaze. Swallowing, Jeanette walks past her.
I was made a widow with 2 children when I was only 19 years old, and it was hard. I tried. I really did. But I failed. I just plain failed.
As Tommy sobs, Jeanette puts an arm around her.
Mama, it's okay. I'm sorry. Sorry I yelled at you, okay? It's gonna be okay. It's all gonna be okay.
She hands Tommy her drink.
Thank you.
As she takes a sip, Jeanette rubs her shoulder.
Don't cry.
Tommy licks her lips, and Jeanette kisses her hand.
I love you.
Tommy pats her daughter's hand. Monica answers her front door for Tommy.
Grandma? What's wrong?
You and I need to talk.
She lifts her brow. Nighttime. On a freeway, cars speed by the lit New Orleans skyline. As a train passes a street, Monica watches it go. Wearing denim short shorts and a midriff-bearing top, she rushes across the road. Now Monica hops down from a wall into the yard of the brothel. Keeping her head low, she approaches a window on the ground floor. Monica bends down, presses her hands against the glass, then slides it open from the bottom. She lifts the window slightly and sneaks inside. Rising, she takes a flashlight out from a handbag and points the beam ahead. Monica creeps through a rummaged room and enters the messy hallway near the staircase. She stops at the desk under the stairs. Monica runs her hand underneath the top of the unit and pushes. The appointment notebook falls out along with another smaller notebook. Monica slides them into her bag. Now in Jimmy's office.
That's great. She's really going to take the offer.
That's what she said.
She? Did her attorney call?
No. She came in person. She's down in Dana's office right now.
He faces Jeanette.
You do realize that that is not the offer that's on the table.
I know. This is my offer to you. My mother and daughter go free. Monica gets her baby back, and I do the 4 years every single day of it, take it or leave it.
The prosecutor swaps looks with his associate.
I have my personal items with me. I'm ready to sign and surrender today.
Miss Mayer, I strongly urge you to have your attorney present.
Too late, I fired him. Now they walk and I do the 4 years. Take it or let a jury decide. Now do we have a deal or not? I'm not going to ask again.
All right, it's a deal. I agree. This needs to end. Dana, pull the paperwork together.
I need to see you for a minute. We have a situation.
In the hall.
You're kidding.
No. She and her attorney are waiting in your office.
With Monica and her lawyer.
You're willing to testify against your own mother?
If that's what it takes to keep Nevaeh, then yes. Look, I'm not proud of this, but she made her decisions. And now I have to make mine.
That's our deal. In exchange for Monica's cooperation, all charges are dropped, no probation. And most importantly, Nevaeh is immediately returned to her mother's custody.
I'm not sure I can arrange that. I don't know.
You don't know? Our offer's on the table. You do what you have to do.
Some things have changed.
Well, does this make a difference? I brought it along because I thought
Monica.
It might.
Monica.
The names of all the local girls and all the girls from out of state, what houses they were from, how long they stayed, their rates.
Damn. This is incredible.
Monica hands him the smaller notebook.
This could put your mother away for a lot of years.
So do we have a deal?
Yes, we have a deal. No wonder she was so desperate to make a bargain.
My mother? My mother was going to take a plea bargain?
She's down the hall.
I thought she wasn't going to... She told me to do whatever I had to do. I mean, why didn't she just tell me? Look, the deal's off.
Sir, we have another situation.
You're kidding.
No. She and her attorney are waiting in the interrogation.
Stay with them.
Now he faces Tommy.
So you want to make your own deal?
That's right, honey. I am not going to jail. Even if it is for only 6 months. And I know that granddaughter of mine is planning on ratting us out. I went to see her last night, and that ungrateful little. But you don't get to be my age without learning a few tricks.
Tommy gives you full cooperation, and she walks. No probation, nothing.
Jimmy eyes her.
You'll testify against your own daughter?
That's what it takes. I mean, she's already blaming me for every bad thing that ever happened to her in her whole life. I figure it's too late now to start making amends.
Unfortunately, I'm not sure you have anything to bring to the table that we don't...
Just stop right there before you finish that thought. I've been telling you all along that all I did was keep the books. Well, here they are. Every single transaction, every single dollar that's come in, and more or less every single dollar that went out.
He looks through the appointment book.
Wow.
So do we have a deal?
As Roy closes the book, Jimmy nods.
Yes, we have a deal. I'll send somebody in with the paperwork.
As he exits, Tommy looks at her attorney. Roy nods, now in Dana's office.
She's ready to sign.
Oh, good. Great. But before you do, how about I change that 4 years to 10?
What are you doing?
Well, if it goes to trial, good chance that the jury will give you 15.
There's no way.
With your daughter and your mother both testifying against you, I would definitely say there is a way.
Jeanette's jaw drops.
I don't understand. Monica?
And Tommy. Both came in and made a deal, and they gave me every scrap of paper I need to convict you. The kind of conviction this case deserves.
I think I'd like to see that attorney.
We'll get you somebody in here right away. But trust me, as soon as they take a look at those books, they will advise you to take the offer.
Jeanette cocks her head and smirks.
Books?
We have both books, Jeanette. Game's over.
Her smirk widens to a grin.
Yes, it is. Well, at least my life isn't the only one that's gonna be ruined.
Dana raises an eyebrow.
What the hell is that supposed to mean?
The goateed agent enters and shakes his head. Jimmy looks back at Jeanette.
I'll be back.
I have no doubt.
Jimmy rejoins Monica and her lawyer.
Okay, What do we got?
Well, the deal's ready to be signed. But there are a few things in this book that I thought you should see.
The goateed agent points to a page in the book. Jimmy reads it. Monica rests her chin on her fist.
Is this what I think it is?
It's the names of all the people the girls spent time with when they were in town.
Some of these girls, I mean, you think there were 26 hours in a day.
You do know if you use any portion of that book as evidence, the entire thing is admissible.
You know damn well I know it.
Jimmy hands the book to the goateed agent and walks out. JP and Monica swap small smiles with Tommy.
Well, of course I kept track of who exactly was doing the paying. That was my job, wasn't it?
Jimmy's eyes shift.
Why don't you just walk me through this right here?
Well, I always ask people where they worked. If they wouldn't tell me, I didn't allow them through that door. So I organized the boys according to company and their occupation, branch of government, and these little marks next to their names. Those kind of indicate their interests, your proclivities, if you get my meaning. Oh my, we've had some very famous people coming through. I'm not sure, but don't you work for one or two of those fellows? Nice thing about politicians is they're so generous. Well, of course, they're always on an expense account, compliments of the taxpayer.
And you know, I would bet that whatever attorney Jeanette might hire would want to subpoena all those names.
Yeah, I bet they would.
It'd be nice to see some of those boys again, even if it is in court. Of course, Jeanette always said the minute we started naming names, we were out of business.
Tommy shakes her head.
Looks like we're out of business.
Furrowing his brow, Jimmy looks away. He closes the book and shoves it over to Tommy. With a fierce glare, he gets up. Tommy takes a deep breath. In Dana's office, Jeanette holds the plea agreement. As Jimmy enters, she faces him.
Miss Mayer, you can go.
Jeanette shifts her gaze. She sets the plea agreement on the desk, then picks up her purse. As she heads past Jimmy, she stops and looks up at him.
Did a good thing. Thank you.
The prosecutor rolls his eyes. Outside, Tommy and Monica wait near the entrance. Jeanette exits.
Oh, Mama! I can't believe you did that. I was scared to death. I thought you were ganging up on me.
See, I told you she'd think that. No faith.
I could never turn on you. You're my mama. And I only got the one.
That's right.
That's right.
I just figured it was men who got us into this mess. It was men who was going to have to get us out. I think you should call some of those old names and see if they'd like to bankroll us to a new venture.
Mama, that sounds awfully close to blackmail to me.
Blackmail.
Uh-huh.
Is that better or worse than racketeering?
As they walk away, Jeanette smiles at Monica and gives her a kiss.
Woo! We're gonna be all right, aren't we?
Yeah. We'll be okay. We're gonna be fine. We're gonna be just fine.
Arm in arm, the women turn a corner. As they head down a brick sidewalk, a closer image dissolves over the first. In slow motion, Jeanette glances at Tommy and they share a warm grin. The wind rustles through Monica's blonde, wavy hair, and she smiles. With an arm around her shoulder, Tommy hugs her daughter. Fade to black. A credit, executive producer Orly Adelson.